a one-sample z-test. Z-scores can be used to look at a normal distribution, sampling distribution. Let's say that we know a population has a mean of 15 and a standard deviation of 3. We look at a single sample from that population. We probably won't get a sample with a mean of 15 and a standard deviation of 3 because of sampling variability. What we can do is we can ask, is the sample probably from a population with a mean of 15? We do this a lot. We use univariate significance tests to see if our data have the distribution we expect as a way of asking if they come from the target population that we intend. So what we do is we take a z-score, we plug in the population value, we plug in the sample value, we plug in the population value, and the denominator becomes the standard error. When we draw a sample, that sample has a certain size. Larger samples are more likely to be accurate. It's possible, using a thing called the central limits theorem, to ask what's the relationship between sample size and accuracy, and that's what's captured by the standard error. Standard deviation divided by the square root of the sample size tells us by how much the mean is going to be off on average. And so we can say, what's the difference between the mean we expect and the mean we got? And how much is that estimate going to be off by average? And ask whether the difference is large or small relative to the amount of error in that estimate.
Standard error is actually just going to be how much the average thing within that sample is off from the mean.
Off from the population mean.
How is it getting the population mean?
Well, that's where things get a little squirrely, because you are using the sample mean to estimate the population variance.
Without using the probability that that sample mean is correct?
Yes. Because the assumption is that the samples have appropriate variability. And if we assume they have appropriate variability, then we can ask if they have appropriate means.
Okay.
Same thing we did with some of those others. The non-parametric statistics ask if the distributions are different. Mm-hmm. Unless we assume the variability and shape are the same, then they ask if the center is different.
Okay.
You got to assume something to test something.
And this one works?
Pretty well. The problem with this one is that we usually aren't firm about this 3.
Yep.
And that's why we're going to slide over to a t-test here in just a minute. Okay? So, the z-test, the denominator reminds us that larger samples are more reliable. The known proportional distribution of the standard normal distribution can be used to give the resulting z-score, meaning a z value larger than plus or minus 1.96 means that that sample mean has less than a 5% chance of having been drawn with a population with the target mean. Less than 5%. Reject the null. Now, here comes the parametric assumption. The resulting p value of each z value is only descriptive of the probability if the data are normally distributed. If the data are not normally distributed, then the value computed by the formula isn't distributed as z, and the p-value doesn't tell us what we think it is. And, where you were going, that sigma really is known. That 3 is what it ought to be. If we knew what the population mean was, and we knew what the population standard deviation was, we'd probably not be asking if this sample comes from that target population, because we know what that population is.
It just seems like sigma is the one that we're less likely to be right about. More likely to be right about you if we assume that.
Not according to the central limits theorem. According to the central limits theorem, the variability of a group of scores is more likely to be consistent than the average. Because outliers tend to disrupt the mean more than the variance. That's the assumption. Notice I keep saying assumption, because you got to start somewhere. That's the cool part of math. All right, one sample t-tests. Let's say we want to ask the same question, but we don't know the population sigma. We can estimate the population sigma value from the sample standard deviation and apply a t formula instead of a z formula. And this is where the notion of degrees of freedom comes from. The denominator is the standard error of the mean. How much multiple sample means drawn from the same population will vary. That variability is tied to the size of the sample. The difference between SE and SEM is this is the sample estimate of the population mean instead of the population mean. I'm sorry, the population standard deviation. The only difference between the formulas is whether we know sigma or estimate the sigma from the sample. When we estimate the sigma from the sample, we want to take into account the likelihood that that estimate is accurate. For the resulting t value to be useful, to be able to tell us the likelihood that a particular sample was drawn from the target population, requires that we know the sampling distribution of t. What complicates things a bit is that there are an infinite number of t distributions depending upon the size of the sample used to estimate the SEM. Every sample size yields a different t distribution. Which t distribution? Which t distribution to use is based on the degrees of freedom of n minus 1. You'll notice that degrees of freedom 6, that is 7 cases in each sample, gives a different critical value than 3. If you have an infinite number, then the t distribution becomes the z distribution. And notice that the larger the sample size, the smaller the critical value. Follows our basic idea, larger samples are easier to believe. So I need less deviation from zero to believe that zero is the wrong answer, the larger the sample size. So our small sample here with only 4, we need a z value, or we need a t value of 3.18 before we believe that the sample and the population means differ. All of this is because in the t-test we are estimating the population standard deviation instead of knowing it. And that increases are unknown. And in order to do that, we need more of a difference to call it a reliable difference, because we're estimating one more parameter. Now we're talking about a distribution where instead of this being known, it's estimated. And the accuracy of that estimate is tied to the sample size. Notice, there's no sample size in there. Normal distribution doesn't care about sample size. Every other distribution does. Because every other distribution recognizes that we're estimating this, and how well we estimate it depends on the sample size. What do you think? Okay. However, and here comes the parametric assumption part. The resulting p-value for each t-value is only descriptive of the probability of that t if the data from which the mean and the SEM are calculated are really normal distribution. If the data are not normally distributed, then the value computed from the formula is not distributed as t with that degree of freedom, and the p-value doesn't mean what we think it means. If you violate the assumptions, the number that you get to make your null hypothesis significance testing conclusion isn't what you think it is. When you calculate that p and it says 0.036, if the data are not normally distributed, p is not 0.036. You don't know what the hell it is.